Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, good afternoon and good evening, everyone. And yes, this is the 100th episode of Buddhist Biohacker.
Yay!
If you guys can believe it, yay! It's so amazing. It's 100 hours live on YouTube. 100 times I've introduced the Buddhist Biohacker. And really, the first episode was, I think it was really Dancing with the Shadow is really when this kicked off back at the first week of April. So April, May, June, July, August, September. So 6 months, 100 episodes. So welcome everybody. And I would not have anyone else I'd rather celebrate with than you, Julie. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much. Honestly, I'm really honored to be here. It's been an absolute joyride from beginning to end. And, you know, I've said this a few times, that when you invited me on in March, was it, I think? Mm-hmm. You know, I had reservations thinking, oh, you know, do I have the time? Will I be able to commit? Because, you know, for me, committing and working with integrity is absolutely number one. And as soon as that thought came up, I had this message from the great beings I work with, and they said, say yes, do it, we need your help. So I knew it was going to be a really pivotal moment and a powerful opportunity, and obviously not just for me, but for everybody that has, you know, engaged and been involved, for the facilitators, as well as for everybody listening in, that, you know, it became very clear very quickly that this platform is a vehicle for the awakening power, for, you know, Shaktipata, whatever you want to call the awakening to the truth of who you are. And I know that through the many messages and emails I've received, and I know you've received, Lisa, mm-hmm. this has proven true.
Yeah.
And it will continue to prove true as, you know, as time goes on. And, you know, the facilitators themselves have been having these major shifts too, and insights and epiphanies and, you know, new awakenings to self and a deepening into truth. And I really believe that, you know, because of COVID and because of what's happening in the world, you were really called to create this platform to bring people into a higher awareness of self, so that we can go out into the world and to help facilitate other people waking up, whether or not they come to the platform, you know, but just in our sort of day-to-day exchanges, relationships, you know, and everything that we're involved with. So my, you know, really deep pranams, as they say in India, to you, Lisa, for having the courage to say yes to the call to action and then really stand behind it and to go with it, because I know it has been a tremendous amount of work for you, a tremendous amount. I mean, we see kind of like the end results, but the work that you do and obviously that Sienna does behind the scenes is really phenomenal. And you know, I know that you're doing this out of love and a call to duty. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie. And You know, I thought about that. I thought about what does it mean to say yes, and how did this all even happen? And it's just such an interesting thing, just like you're saying, like you just say yes. And even if you have no idea what you're doing, you just do it. And it was a weird thing how this all came about, because I just felt like I had ideas for summits. I had ideas for some kind of podcast. I'd done some things here and there in the past, and I just never really committed to it, really. I mean, it was really just sort of things I thought of or did. And so when the quarantine hit in Colorado, I really had this strong, you know, it just landed like, I've got to hold space this week. Like, whatever's going on this week. And I just wrote to everyone. You were like first person I wrote to and was like, I think we need to do this summit thing. Like, and how this all came about was so crazy, because it was really out of efficiency that this show came about, because it cost money to have over 100 people on a Zoom call.
Yes.
So I had to think about, well, how can I do this without spending any money? Because I didn't have any money to spend. And it was like, oh, Zoom live streams to YouTube. And I thought, oh, well, I have this YouTube channel I've never used. Like, I think I had a few videos on here of like events and things. And I thought, well, I can use that. And I had been sitting with this concept of Buddhist Biohacker, but I never did anything with it. So I changed my YouTube channel from my name to Buddhist Biohacker, and we used that for the summit, and it live streamed, and it was easeful. It worked really well. It didn't cost any money, and it put it out for everyone so that it was accessible to everyone. And then here we are, like, and this is the 100th episode, but I added it up last night, and this is the 343 hours I've been live on YouTube.
Whoa.
Between summits, we've done 3 global summits, plus the show, plus other like random things we've been live for, and global healing circles and meditation. So yeah, 343 hours in 6 months.
That is just phenomenal. I mean, you know, here's the thing. If you'd been handed that kind of missive before you took it on, you probably have said, oh, wait a minute, I'm not sure I can do that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't know that lazy is really the right word, but that's part of my own shadow work and my own journey over really the last 2 years was, I have all these ideas. I have great ideas. I'm a great creative thinker, but I just did not act on those ideas. And that was something that I thought of too when I thought of this 100th episode, and what you and I have talked about many times about just saying yes, is actually doing the idea.
Yes. Yes. And starting, you know, even if you read, and this has happened to me more times than I can say. In fact, every time when I've been given this kind of prompt to do something, I really do not have a clue. But I trust, and I've said this many times too, I trust the place from which this directive is given. I trust that much, much more than any doubts or concerns the mind may bring up. And the mind will always bring up doubts and concerns and questions and so on and so forth. And the thing as well that is really clear is that there's an energy about it. There's an impulse. There's an all over felt sense of rightness when one of these directives lands. And I know that because I trust the place it's coming from. I know that if I need help with anything, help will be given, and it, someone will show up, or there'll be something that happens that points the way and really helps me, usually in the sort of technical areas is where I need the most help. But, you know, I just say yes. I just have gotten into the habit of saying yes and then just seeing where it takes me. And the other side of that, too, is I realized, I guess, in the last year or so, that I've never been afraid of failing.
Mm.
I just trust this directive, say yes. And if it turns out to be a huge flop, you know, and I always used to say to Tony, you know, if I make an idiot of myself, that's okay. I can laugh. You know what I mean? It just isn't looking good or sounding good or being perfect. That's the other one. It's just never been a thing with me at all. I really don't care about failing. I really don't. So I've put my head on the chopping block I don't know how many times. And I think for the most part, things have worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
But I don't tie myself up in knots worrying about making it sound amazing or perfect or right or look amazing or perfect or right. I just trust what I'm being directed to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really key. And it's important for everybody listening to know that, you know, with everything you've done, Lisa, and with everything I've done, we've obviously had our moments and we've been very, very, very challenged. I mean, you know, I had a client that said, oh, because she read Meeting the Shadow. She said, I always thought you had things so, it was so easy for you, you know. You make it look so easy, like you never have any challenges. And I said, well, I don't know what world you live in, but I certainly don't live in that world. But, you know, I guess the thing is I don't engage with those kinds of concerns about how I look or how I sound or, you know, any of those things.
Yeah. Well, and I think the amazing thing, the thing that I am so proud of myself about this year is managing how other people see me. Because just like you're talking about not wanting, you know, not mattering if you're perfect, like I have always had these like patterns of experiences of people judging me.
Sure.
You know, they have this idea that if we're spiritual or light workers, whatever you want to call us, that we're like sitting somewhere like chanting and eating vegetables or something. And it's like, no. And I've had so much judgment through my years of being single and dating and through, you know, just my journeys and my mess ups and not being able, overcommitting and not being able to meet commitments. I mean, I could list my shadow work. And this year, it's like really coming to value myself. I think that's a huge win for myself and something that I hope everyone gets from everything that we've done this year is that we all have value and gifts. And acknowledging that, suddenly you can laugh when somebody is judging because it's like, oh gosh, like.
Yes, it you know, look, and I think the reason people get into that mindset is because they've inherited this belief that to be spiritual means you rise above everything relating to one's humanity and one's humanness. Rather than, and I think that's part of the journey as well, you know, when we first have an awakening, we want to be spiritual, and we want to be seen as being spiritual, and we want to sound spiritual and look spiritual. And be able to quote all the right texts and things like that. And then, you know, that lasts for a certain amount of time. But it's, you know, it's a tremendous effort to keep that up because it's not natural. You know, we take ourselves too seriously. And the thing is if you really want lasting attainment and if you want to fully realize the self, then your humanity must be included, which includes, you know, maybe your crazy sense of humor or maybe your untidiness or what, you know, whatever the story is around personhood, you know, and all, you know, all those things that we do that maybe drive our partners crazy, which, you know, I've written about in Meeting the Shadow, but, you know, and that is part of shadow work as well. It's really coming home to one's humanity, but to living in the full realization that who we really are, our true nature, exists prior to the story, which is, you know, the supreme self, absolute awareness itself, or whatever you want to call that, or source, whatever you want to call that. It's, you know, it's, we are, or I am, or you are, we all are, source itself, expressing through personhood. So of course, naturally, we have to include, we have to respect and love and include and value our humanity and take care of ourselves, do what we're being called to do, because how else can source manifest and create but through you and I?
Mm-hmm.
And you can really, you know, you can only do that by being in your body and being here and being fully alive and fully engaged with who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know everybody listening is either realizing this or responding to life in this way or trying to respond to life in this way, right? You know, while maybe while you're working full time, you're taking care of the kids, you're still trying to live from the highest perspective and with the highest understanding and to include everything.
Yeah.
Because if you don't include everything, you're only half living.
You wrote an awesome post the other day where you talked about running as far as you can from any teachers who want you to deny your humanity. And I loved that post, and it speaks to what you're saying right now. And I think there is such a, I don't know what you want to call it, maybe a challenge that's out there that, you know, certain spiritual gifts are special, certain people are special, there's more value on someone than someone else. And I think something kind of hit me, you know, through this journey, through the last 6 months of we all sit at the same table. I just keep hearing that. We all sit at the same table. And so I loved your post because it really hits my heart because it's such a passion of mine that everybody has these gifts. Like none of us are, we have unique stuff, but we all have the ability to access our truth and be who we are. And the other thing that's come up really in really looking back, I mean, you've done like 22 podcasts on Buddhist Biohacker or something like that. And so looking back at all of those different episodes, because that was part of my process for thinking of contemplating today, you know, part of your messaging, you know, is this we all have these gifts, but we also are all source itself, you know? And
yes,
there's something for me that's changed where I feel like I understand that in a way where it's like, well, I'm sort of denying God if I'm not doing my unique gifts. Like we're almost like if source wants to experience life and creativity and creation through me, then yes. It's my job to create.
Yes. Yeah. And look, here's the thing as well is that I know every single person listening right now or watching the recording later will have had this experience. If you get a prompt to do something, you know, whether it's a huge thing like you've done with this platform or whether it's just to, you know, draw something or paint or learn to play the piano or, you know, take care of yourself. If you respond to that call to action and just go with it without analyzing it too much, then there's a sweetness. There's this beauty, there's just this feeling of flow with the infinite. And it just feels so good. And the opposite is true when we deny that, when we question and repress and look the other way and don't respond to the call to action. There's a definite feeling of depressed energy because what we're doing actually, and it's really on point, we're depressing the creative flow of source itself. And, you know, as I said in one of the other broadcasts, that, you know, the greatest self-harm we can inflict on ourselves is to deny who we are, to deny that flow of source through us, and to just keep living in a very contracted and constrained way, mm-hmm. thinking, you know, who am I to do this, or I don't have the skills to do, you know, whatever you're being called to. You know, and the thing is that the promise inherent in the message itself, in the directive, is that because you are hearing that and receiving that directive, you will be giving everything you need to be able to fulfill what you're being called to, even if it's really outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, and we all know this, the times that we've stepped into things that we really have question, you know, can I do this? And we take the call to action, say yes, step in, and then it just happens in magical ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you feel alive, because you really connect in then with grace itself. You connect in with the mystery of source, you know, and the amazing energy that comes out of that, the vitality we're given. It's really even hard to put into words.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, again, we've all felt that. Every single person listening in has felt that at some point in his or her life. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here listening. We recognize it. We know what it is. We know what it feels like. And it's the joy of that that gives us the courage to keep continuing.
Mm-hmm.
As you have.
Oh, gosh. One foot in front of the other. And I want to invite everybody. So I have, I think it would be fun to talk about some of our favorite episodes.
Ooh.
So I want to invite everybody to share if you have favorite episodes that you've loved. And also if you have an experience or something you want to share that came through Buddhist Biohacker, I'd love to have you share in the comments for sure. So please do that. And I think it would be fun. I was curious what your favorite episodes were, Julie.
Oh, wow. There's just so, so, so many. I'd have to really think about it because I've watched a lot of content, I have to say. Of course, I've really enjoyed Marlena because I know Marlena Leonard. You know, mm-hmm. I know her from Grand Bahama, and it's just lovely to see her take her seat and to share her gifts in that way. So that's been really lovely. Of course, I loved watching Cairo because I've known Cairo for many, many years, Dr. Cairo Rochas. And he always brings so much wisdom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I love the kind of the oriental flavor of the way he describes the movement of energy and how to work with energy and so on. So that has been absolutely lovely. And I love, you know, I love Cheryl. I love listening to Cheryl's wisdom as well, because, you know, those are areas that I'm not, you know, everything to do with plants and healthy eating and all of those things and growing. So that's been fun. You know, I mean, that could go on and on and on. And, you know, there's just so, so many. I enjoyed Rachel Abel's block therapy session that she did.
Yes.
That was really interesting because I haven't used a block, you know, and done that work. So that was fun. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much wisdom in every single person that shares, because, you know, essentially everybody's an expert in that field.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're so that what they're presenting is just so full of richness and wisdom. And then with respect to my own sharings, I really enjoyed the honoring your, what was it? The honoring your soul contract one.
Yeah, so good.
That was good. And then the utilizing your gifts, I think was the title I gave it. That was really very powerful as well. But you know, honestly, I love every single one I do. Seriously, I just love every second.
Well, I can't say that I thought I was going to be doing all of these shows with you all the years ago that I connected with you, but I feel really blessed and grateful that you said yes, that you chose to be accessible, because you really have such a gift in how you teach and how you invite us to really look inside ourselves in a real way and create that supportive space. I mean, I still go back to Dancing with the Shadow. I mean, that was really one of the first episodes. It was one of the first ones you and I did. But it's funny, I actually listened to it again with my husband because he was asking, he goes, well, what is all the, you know, I need to listen to the shadow stuff. And I was like, okay, well, let's listen to the show. And it's so timeless. Like, that's what's so cool about all of these shows, really. But Dancing with the Shadow is still one of my top ones because there's so much energy to it. And it you make it accessible. You know, you make that shadow. And I don't remember which show this was in at all, but you were talking about, you showed a picture of Nityananda and his shadow.
Yes.
And how you talked about how he gave you this message about how there was just as much Shakti in his shadow as in his photo. And that's really stuck with me. I mean, that's really stuck with me because I think there's so much truth to that. And I don't know. There's just, when you dive into the darkness, it's just so incredible. Like, there's so, what I'm learning, and you know, Julie, I've done shadow work now with you for like 15 years, but there's so much depth to the shadow. There's almost more depth to it than the light. And I'm just grateful I haven't been afraid of it. I mean, now it's like this, like, sometimes I'm like, oh man, do I really have to, like, is this really a thing? Like, I had a tough week last week with the family and stuff, and my husband and I had a tough week, just not really with each other actually, but just with life. And it's like, God, like, is this ever going to end, you know? And at the same time, it's like, you know, it's really not hard anymore. It's not like this ongoing, like, drama, or I have to talk about it for 6 hours. It's like, okay, well, we had a 20-minute discussion and figured it out, and life goes on. So Dancing with the Shadow is one of my tops. And Carrie Fredericks, you're saying weird is your superpower. That was a good one too.
Yes. 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 Yes, that was. Yeah, I mean, I'd forgot. Quite honestly, I've forgotten some of the ones we did.
I know. You know what? We're going to be doing some reminders and some things here coming up. Finally, this one woman show is becoming like a 3 or 4 woman show, which is really, I'm so grateful for. One of the other ones that really sticks out to me is Jeff Strong, and he's actually going to be on again tomorrow, and he is a drummer. And he went off and, you know, started this institute to study how drumming impacts the brain. And I really liked his episode. Was cool because it was so nerdy. Like, he talked all about, you know, the brain and what happens in meditation. But I really liked that one. And I think I liked it too, because my husband is the one who really, like, he followed him as a drummer and wanted me to connect with him. And Jeff ended up being this, he's such a cool guy. Like, he's just such a cool, grounded, spiritual man. And so I feel really, I just can't even, the amount of people, if I wouldn't have said yes to this show, I just can't even imagine the people I wouldn't have connected with, like Deanna Hansen from Black Therapy, and all of the people who shared their awakening stories in the documentary. I mean, gosh, if you think about all the people that we've all met and connected with and done these summits with, none of us know each other.
I know. It's really something really amazing. And you know that I forget the guy's name, that I call him like the caveman.
Oh, Donnie.
What's his name?
Donnie Best.
Oh, that's it. Yes. I find him so fascinating because he's so grounded and so kind of earthy, and yet this beautiful wisdom that's, I want to say sweet, it's still very grounded, but there's just this lovely balance in him that comes across that is fantastic.
Yeah, he's going to be back on too, I think, in November. He's doing a film right now, which is super cool, so he'll be back after he's done that. But yeah, he's cool. And I really liked the Divine Masculine Roundtable too. I thought that was,
yes, I enjoyed that very much. And there was a lot of people that watched that, I noticed, mm-hmm. which is fantastic.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback. And actually, a little sneak peek for everybody is my husband, Scott, is going to be doing the male version of Buddhist Biohacker. So it'll be blue instead of pink. But he really loved doing that and the brotherhood that was created. And so he's going to be doing some shows now as we go into the new year and starting to share his own wisdom and gifts. And it's kind of cool, Julie, like Scott has so many of the shadow books you've talked about. He has all of them. He's like, I've read all these books. I'm like, what?
You see?
It's amazing.
What goes around comes around, right?
It does. He went on this like little spiritual journey at a certain period of his life, and it's like all coming full circle for him. But we listened to Dancing with the Shadow. That's what happened. We were listening to it, and he said, you said the little book about the shadow, and Scott like finished your sentence, and he's like, oh, by Robert Bly. He goes, I have that book. So we went and dug it up. So on September 30th will be the second Divine Masculine Roundtable, and they're actually going to be talking about the books that Robert Bly wrote. There's a couple other ones that are all about the masculine form, and that's what the guys are going to be talking about, which I think is super cool. So it's all interwoven.
Wonderful. I just want to ask, are you comfortable with all the light on your face? Do you want to?
Oh, I know. I'm going to change it. It's definitely, the sun is blaring in.
Yes, because it's, I can see it's a little bit uncomfortable, but.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So, you know, I think this might be fun right now to just invite whoever's listening to do their little shares or ask questions about anything that has been we've talked about or that has been presented, you know, on the platform, maybe.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And Eve is sharing, following your golden thread and the shadow have brought me into my sovereignty. So, Eve.
Yes.
Eve's diehard. Eve's watched all of our shows, I think. She's participated in all the summits. She's really been a warrior of our community. So thank you, Eve, for sharing. And following the golden thread was a good one. The energy on that is like, whew, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. So many of them have been really incredible. Really incredible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And there's more to come.
There is. There is. I can tell you that what's really coming through for Buddhist Biohackers, we go like, the message this year was to create a resource of light, and really we've had so many resources. I can't even believe the modalities and the experts and the resources. And next year is really going to be about more about education. So next year is really, you know, diving deeper into those resources that we want to integrate and learn more about and really educate deeper into some of these topics and go into the science of it. I did not think I was a science brain, but I kind of really am into that right now.
Yes. Well, it's helpful, I think. You know, and I'm glad to hear what you're saying, because certainly when I received this, you know, massive life-changing spiritual awakening in 1989, I mean, I really didn't know what had hit me. I'd never heard of such a thing. I didn't even feel like I was seeking at all. I just knew, you know, there was discontent is really what I was most familiar with. And I had a feeling I was looking for someone or something that could present truth or something indefinable that I could hardly even articulate. But anyway, so, you know, after this massive awakening happened, I kind of didn't know what to do with my energy, really. It was just off the charts. And I remember trying to find and trying to connect with people so that I could have some understanding. And then I began to be really interested in, you know, healing, you know, energy medicine and healing and, you know, different sort of methods of, you know, moving the energy. But I couldn't, I went to libraries and went online a little bit, but I could never find anything. And essentially what I'm realizing now is this platform is really what I was looking for.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. I love that so much, Julie. That really emotionally moves me. Mm-hmm. If I can do anything, it's honor you and the people who are doing this work, like Cairo and Satyam and Christian and Cheryl and more. Yes. And more and more and more. I mean,
yes. And actually, speaking of favorite videos and classes and presentations, Satyam, definitely. Oh. I think Tony and I, what we did his yoga classes, I don't know how many times. I same video. Just his energy is just so beautiful and just so easeful and engaging and, you know, just wonderful.
Really so full of integrity too. I mean, just, he is so fabulous. I mean, mm-hmm. He really is. I agree, Siam. And I just feel like fired up after his shows. Like he gets you so excited about just these little things like breathing. He just did one on breathing and you get so excited about that. And it's just so amazing. Really? Yeah,
I know. So, you know, to have that kind of content available is really incredible. It's maybe there's content, similar content on different platforms, but, you know, I have a feeling that you'd have to either pay for it or there wouldn't be so much content or it wouldn't be as diverse. It tends to be a bit sort of more narrowed down. Or following a certain sort of orientation, whereas Buddhist Biohacker really includes everyone and everything.
Mm, yeah, and I think that's the point. I mean, I feel like, gosh, I don't even know how I want to say this, but I feel like it's just all so valuable. I mean, it just is. And I went and worked the psychic fair circuit. I did that. I was, you know, doing my little booths for, I don't know, I did that for like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years or something. And I saw all these other healers, all these different people in their booths doing their different things. And everybody has a message and everything. And there's something really awesome about being able to get these messages out to everyone and to share all these different modalities and energies and belief systems. And what's even cooler is when you look back, it's really all the same message.
Yes, yes. And you know, the gift is that whoever comes onto the platform might listen to one of my presentations and just not have a resonance. Yet they can go listen to someone else and just have this deep connection and really want to learn more from him or her. And that's the beauty of what is on offer here. You know, because oftentimes it might just be a word or two or a sentence that has a resonance with us where it's like, oh my gosh, this person speaks my language and he or she understands me very well. Or they may be speaking to something that that person has wanted to study and hasn't found the right teacher for. And it's just incredibly powerful and incredibly potent. You know, and on that note, this past Sunday, I received a beautiful, quite lengthy email from a lady in New Zealand who had gone onto a platform in the UK and then via, I think Magenta Pixie actually, and then via the interview done with her, came onto Buddy's Biohacker and then listened to one or two of my presentations and then went and bought the book, Meeting the Shadow, Finding Yourself. And she was just beside herself because she said that she had been studying and on a spiritual path for years and years and years and years and years and years. And then it got to the point where she was just, you know, just frustrated with it and felt like she'd never get to the end of it and everything. And then she said the book just really, everything just clicked with her and she just dropped everything and just had this huge shift and turnaround and said, you know, she felt like she'd been waiting forever to read. And she was quoting, you know, and speaking about especially the last couple of chapters and speaking to what she'd read there that had literally just brought an end to her seeking. And, you know, that to me is priceless, to be able to let, you know, support someone who has been trying so hard for so long to eventually wake up and realize that who she is right now in this moment is enough. And, you know, the invitation was there to put the weight of seeking down and to take rest in herself. So, you know, and I've had several emails like that actually where people have found me on Buddhist Biohacker, gone on and read the book or, you know, done something with me and then just had these huge, huge shifts. And, you know, and I know that it's been the same for you, Lisa. And I'm sure people listening in maybe have watched, you know, certain presentations or roundtables of, you know, podcasts and had similar experiences and may not necessarily have said anything to the presenter, but you know, in their own way, they've had their own epiphanies or insights or shifts and changes in consciousness, you know, and that again, all of that is so priceless because the thing is that, especially with the amount of content you have that is free, that people can watch in the comfort of their own homes, they don't have to go on some great long pilgrimage, they're not paying to go on retreats, they can really make valuable time of, you know, being home more. And certainly when we're in quarantine, that was the case. And again, you know, someone sent me a message and said, your presentations on Buddy's Biohacker have been my most favorite part of the whole quarantine and the lockdown. And, you know, much of that was very difficult for people in the Bahamas, because when they say lockdown, they mean lockdown. You cannot leave your house.
Yeah.
And that went on for months and months and months, as Bahamians will testify. So for somebody to send a message like that and say, you know, really, it was the best part of the whole quarantine. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's helped me so much. You know, it's helped me shift and change. So, you know, and all of that wouldn't have happened had you not said yes and stepped into what you were being called to. Mm-hmm. And also the people, the viewers that join us and, you know, give feedback and ask questions and write comments. Don't, please, and I want this to say this really clearly, don't ever think that any of your comments or, you know, whatever you kind of say in the comment box or send in as an email is going to, you know, doesn't have any value. Everything you say, every kind of measure of support that you offer is so important. It has such value. And you're actually, what's happening is you are valuing and honoring your very own self, your highest self, when you are speaking about, you know, inspiration or being moved or being changed by what you've seen on this platform. Because essentially everything is really about reflecting the higher self and placing value on source itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, recognizing that it isn't in some far off place, it's right here inside of you.
Yeah.
So we really value, I know Lisa really values any support she's given. I really value all the support I'm given as well. We both really value, you know, anybody that encourages or gets the word out, you know, about the platform. Because, it, and this isn't coming from some selfish need for sort of self-aggrandizement. This is about honoring the self, honoring source, speaking from source, standing in the truth of source, saying, yes, I am that. Right now, I am that. And this isn't some recognition that, or realization that, you know, needs time. It doesn't need 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or maybe when I'm 85, I'll get it. You know, maybe in my next lifetime. I've heard that so many times. Maybe three lifetimes from now. No. How about right now?
Mm-hmm.
How about recognizing the Supreme Self, Source itself, as you right now? Why wait? Why wait?
Yep. And what a gift to have. It's all captured right here on film. Like the Shakti, the energy never diminishes.
Nope.
And I couldn't think of a better soul purpose for me than to create a container that captures exactly what you're talking about, which is the energy of source, the energy of creation. This is creation. This is what it is. It's all creation. And it just comes from that place.
Mm-hmm.
That. And I see it in everything that I'm doing, like everything, even this logo and everything, it all has just flowed from this space where I'm just flowing in this space and asking for all of us who are in that space to come together. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been an honor to bring everyone together and to create this space where we can all be ourselves, like
Yeah. Truly
be ourselves, to be able to connect with each other. It gives me a lot of joy to bring different people together. Like a lot of these roundtables were because I was like, oh my gosh, I really want these two people to meet or talk or connect. And you know, there's this energy of all of us connecting with each other and knowing that we're not alone. Because
yeah.
I think all of us, I know for me, like there was this solitary energy. I can't really say that I felt alone because I've really just never felt that way. I've always felt supported by whatever energy or spirit was here and the teachers that I've been blessed with, like you, throughout my life. So I can't say I felt alone. But I did feel solitary, like I was working in this solitary fashion, and something about what's been created this year, we're just not the hermit anymore. Like, we're all together doing this. And I get excited. It's like, ooh, I'm excited to go into my life. Like, it's like you're going into this whole other world where all these people are that are all part of this journey together. And that's what makes it so much fun. That's why the lives are so important. That's why all of your participation is so important, because I don't want to do recorded. I mean, there's a time and place for recorded things, but for the show, it will always be live, because I think that's the point.
Yes, yes. I mean, I really love that. I love being able to turn up and be in community. And, you know, if I can't make the live, then I know that I can go on to the recording. But the energy of it is still very alive. And you can feel it and connect in as well. And it's a real gift, because, you know, and when we were chatting last night in the group, that, you know, Marlena was saying something very important. And she was saying that in the Bahamas especially, you know, it can be very difficult to be able to speak to people about the things that, you know, we're discussing on this platform, because, you know, it's a Christian country, and we honor that and all of those things. I mean, it's certainly changed since like 10 or 15 years ago, because it used to be very closed. Things are changing. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily the Bahamas. There are pockets everywhere that are very conservative, where you cannot speak your truth, or you felt like you couldn't speak your truth because there'd be disapproval or judgment or whatever. And really all of those walls are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is really changing. And people are finding, because of COVID, people are finding creative ways to be in community and to find one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movement is really about standing in our truth, owning our truth, and putting an end to that old sort of inherited belief that we should not speak to what we know in our hearts is true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that time, that old way and that old time is finished.
Yeah.
And being, you know, upfront and out there and speaking truth is what we're all being called to in our own way, whatever that truth is, you know. Obviously, mm-hmm. It presents differently in different people. But that the old time is finished.
It is. And I keep going back. I cannot, it's like, I've probably said this 100 times on this 100 episodes, but I keep going back to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, because before China invaded Tibet, none of us knew who the Dalai Lama was, really.
Yes.
And because China invaded Tibet and pushed him out into the world, as difficult and challenging and devastating as that was and is for Tibet, it was the greatest gift for us to receive this teacher across the world. And I think that coronavirus has done that for each and every one of us on an individual level. If it wasn't for this forced closure to support our health and all those things, but if we wouldn't have had this put upon us, we would not have been pushed out into these other spaces and connected. And I also think of that phrase, when God closes a door, he pushes you out a window.
Yes.
I just love that phrase, because I've seen it time and time again with my clients and with myself, and I see it with this energy of this year. If it wasn't for this massive change in our way of living, we wouldn't have this community. We wouldn't have this space. I don't know that I would have thought to do this or been asked to do this or that it would have worked this way. Like, it just wouldn't have. And so it's really, I have zero negative feelings about quarantine or about COVID or about any of these things. Like, as challenging as it's been, I'll be honest, I don't know that there's anyone in our community, as challenged as they've been, who hasn't felt like their life has changed for the better this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, everybody I work with, everybody I've been, you know, doing readings with and counseling with and all, have said the same thing. Of course, you couldn't go out and tell everybody that. Because, you know, they'd be very offended.
Yeah.
Certainly here on this platform, you know, I'm with you 100% because that is exactly what I've seen. That's proven to be true in my own life and my own expression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obviously true in yours. And then everybody, I think, on this platform has found very creative ways to start expressing and being, even, you know, I don't even want to say despite the quarantine, but, you know, in tandem with the quarantine, I guess is how I'm putting it, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been incredibly positive. And to be honest, you know, I think it kind of took this to get everybody to slow down enough to start meditating, contemplating, doing the self-inquiry and looking at being in one's life in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think of my direct experience with my health, you know, back in, let's see, it would have been 2013, 2012. I went through quite a bit of health stuff. You guys can read my book if you really want to know about it, because I don't even really care about that story anymore. But the point is, I moved to Boulder, Colorado. And when I moved to Boulder, they have this kind of joke about Boulder. It's the Boulder bubble. Like, people go in and they never come out. And it really is true. Like, when you move into, it's a little community. It's up, nestled up against the Rocky Mountains. And it's a very holistic community. I mean, I would say it's a holistic space. And I went there to go to Naropa University, which is a Buddhist university. And the thing is, simultaneous things occurred. One was I was suddenly away from the people I were dating at the time. I was away from my friends and my social distractions. I was in school. I started a brand new job. I didn't know anybody. And I was also in a massive detox, like a physical detox that required a lot of discipline with how I lived, you know, sweating and exercise and focus on what I ate. I mean, it was just this really time of quarantine for myself. And so I was thinking about that with this year for me, because I've been in that space where I was essentially isolated from everything and everyone. And it really does invite you to look inside yourself. And I had panic attacks and I had issues and I was emotional. And I'm sure I called you, Julie, a bunch of times during that time period. And, you know, it was really hard, but I left that space and ended up going to Hawaii and had just the most profound changes in my life. Mm-hmm. And it came through that. And so for all of us who are experiencing this time of quarantine, for me, it's really familiar. It's like normal to be isolated and to have to focus on my health and, you know, staying in a good space. And so I feel really blessed that creation came for me this year through this space. And so I just invite all of you guys to really look at what's come up for you this year. Which shows on here have triggered you? Which ones have really opened you up? You know, what were those tough points for you? Because this journey, we've done it all together this year. And that inward look at yourself is, it's just everything. It's the answer to what you're looking for. It's in here. Like, you just go in and there it is. You don't have to go look anywhere else. And it's interesting because this show, Julie, has been all about looking everywhere else. If you think about it, it's all these different presentations and teachers and topics and conversations and everything. And at the end of the day, really, it's about going inside.
Yes. Yes. It's different forms as an invitation to go into that which is formless.
Mm. We need to write that down. That's good. We have really good comments. You guys, like Claire says, you've created a space for that energy and excitement and connection that you find at spiritual fairs. But here we have the power of community and momentum and continued growth. We have, thank you for all your fantastic shows and great content. Thank you for that. I agree that your first One Heart, One Earth Summit was my lifeline during the lockdown, totally, for all of us. Elisa says, I think the fact you cover so many different subjects is great. The Buddhist biohacker community has been instrumental in creating my COVID cocoon of connecting to my true self, knowing I'm an instrument of ascension. Honestly, Buddhist biohacker is what helped me through quarantine and helped me realize what a gift this pause has been. And you guys are so sweet.
That's just wonderful.
I love, go ahead.
I love the COVID cocoon idea. That's fantastic.
It still is. And I want to invite you guys too, if you have things, you know, you'd love to hear, people you'd love to hear from, or ideas that you have. I mean, really, this is the forum to share with us, like any of those things. And I'm really excited because part of saying yes, you guys, is when you have that moment where it's like, gosh, I really feel connected to this person, but they're kind of bigger and I'm not sure. Like, you know, I wrote some people this year that were not accessible necessarily, who said yes to being here. And that came from my willingness to say yes and to be honest about what I was looking for and what I wanted. And so say yes to those ideas, because it, I would have rather asked. I've had a lot of people say no too. I've had people say no, but I still asked. I still put it out there. And I think that's really important to share. Like, this has been a lot of work for myself, my team, Sienna, the team that's now growing into a bigger team. Like, it's been a lot of work of organizing and planning and thinking and reaching out. But gosh, we've had really cool guests. We have really cool people coming on that said yes, people that we've never heard of. There's this man named Tim who's coming on Friday from the UK. I just saw a video on YouTube of him hugging a tree and talking about how he had to cut down this tree and it was really traumatic for this tree. And he just seemed so cool. And I wrote him, he doesn't have a huge following. It didn't matter to me. And he's like, sure, I'll come on the show. And so he'll be on Friday. Like, just say yes to these ideas. I know, like, it's just, you have to say yes and you have to do it. And you have to learn from it too. Like, I've overcommitted. I've done a lot of stuff this year. And I've had to look at that too and really decide, you know, what do I value? What do I value? What's important? What is important for Buddhist Biohacker? We took a stand against violence. That was a pretty big stand. And it's going to continue, by the way. And we have t-shirts and we actually have a volunteer working on incredible gold ribbons for the November Awakening for all of us. But that came through a lucid dream experience with Gandhi. And I am not an activist. That's not really who I was, I didn't think. And yet I say that knowing full well, I got on an airplane in 2011 and went to Washington, D.C. and worked for 12 days for the Dalai Lama, for the Tibetans, and didn't even know what I was doing. So I say I'm not an activist, and yet I keep doing things that are that kind of thing. But my point is, it's all this organic, like just this desire. And I feel like Gandhi came in a dream because he wanted us to take that stand. And so we take a stand against violence. We've stepped forward and we have quantum leaps in front of us of things that I want to put in front of us as a community to continue to move us forward, because I don't want us to be the community that's all talk. I want us to be all action, doing.
That's it right there. That's it. Because, you know, it's one thing to kind of study sacred texts or to meditate and all those things, and that's all wonderful. But how do you put that into action?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody's called to something, you know. It might not appear to be such a big thing as creating a platform or something, or writing a book or doing something. But there's always a call to action for everybody. Always.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about listening to what that is, right? And having the courage to say yes.
Yeah. And don't you think it's bigger now? Or I don't know if bigger is really the right word, but it seems like the call to action is bigger for all of us than maybe it was prior to this year.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I completely agree with that. I think the way it works, it's we're called incrementally, if that makes sense. you know, we're called in a small way and we do that one thing. And then it's kind of like the more we step into it and say yes, the more we're given. And the greater sort of challenge we're given is the way it, well, it's certainly worked that way in my life. And seemingly it's worked that way in your life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even looking back, you know, it really has been inherent in my nature always. I just didn't really see it really until recently. But even when I got that call to read cards, like that happened in 2006. And I literally just, I'll never forget it. I made you guys these little business cards with a sun and a moon on them on my printer, on Print Shop, on my desktop computer in 2006. And I just told all my friends I was going to do readings and I was starting a business. And that was literally what happened. And within 6 months, I was reading people from all over the country. And that's all it takes. I mean, it's really that easy. And it wasn't easy because I had to learn that journey. So I don't think I chose the easiest route because I was healing while my clients were healing. And in fact, Raquel and I were just talking about that this morning, because it's probably wiser to take a break and heal yourself. But I didn't. I just kept reading people and kept working with people and had really hard times, you know, managing through my own shadow and my own experiences. But I look back and I think I just wouldn't do it any other way because I was told to do it and I just did it.
Yeah, but you know, what you're saying also makes perfect sense, because what happens is, if you're somebody that, for example, does cards or readings or whatever the modality is, and you connect in with Source, you are in Source and you're speaking from Source itself. So the personal story actually goes kind of on the side. It's kind of out of your space. Because the truth of who you are is Source itself anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I think there is often a lot of benefit to continuing working, even if you are healing aspects of your personhood or personality. You know, and there's a place for everything. And the thing is I'm sure if you had really felt that you really couldn't do that work because you were just suffering so much, or you were dealing with the shadow, what was going on, you wouldn't have said yes to working with a client, because you place integrity in, you know, in everything that you're doing. You know what I mean?
I'm grateful you said that, because it's true. I mean, and I would walk away from a reading and I'd be like, oh, that was really brilliant. I need to listen to what they just said through me.
Yes.
That was for me too.
Yes. Yes. It's like that, the personal story moves, takes a back seat, actually, is the way it works. And then Source, obviously, if you're coming from that a place of integrity, then Source is what speaks through everything you're saying. And oftentimes, you know, the testimony to that is when you receive information that really sounds like weird. I mean, I remember this, I think it was last year sometime, this lady who is a psychiatrist and who lives in New York had heard about me through a mutual friend, and she sent me, you know, an email and asked if she could do a session with me. So, you know, I looked at my schedule and we figured out a time for the schedule, and I said, look, all you have to do, please, you know, ahead of the session, is just send me your date of birth, your place of birth, and your full name at birth. That's all the information I need. And it's essentially acting as permission for me to be able to access her information in her subtle records or Akashic records or whatever you want to call that. So she sent that information to me, you know, and I did my puja and prayers ahead of the time and so on, and then sat with her information. And I just said, I must have written this number down wrong, because the number that I'd written down for the year of her birth did not tally with her energy at all, because it felt to me energetically like she was somebody in her mid-40s, and yet the date of birth, the year of birth, spoke to really somebody that was in their late 60s, and it just didn't make sense. So, and I was seeing somebody with this massive head of hair and all of that. So anyway, I went back online and checked again, checked her email, looked again, you know, and I wrote it all down and I came back again and I'm looking again. It's like, this doesn't make sense. This, let me just check again. So I checked her date of birth 3 times, right? And then in the end, I said, this is what's being given. This is what I'm seeing. And this is what I'm going to share with her. So anyway, you know, one of the first things I said when I joined her, when she joined me online, is, you know, I have to tell you this funny story. This is what happened. She almost fell off the chair. She was laughing her head off. She said, people have said that to me for years. I do have amazing energy. And she got this massive head of hair. So the thing is if I tried to sort of manage that or whatever, right, or change it, like, you know, with you, when you get information, you try and change it to fit maybe something that sounds more, I don't know, acceptable, if you like, or whatever, mm-hmm. especially if it's weird stuff.
Yes. That makes me think my favorite weird story you're making me think of is I was talking to, so this couple had come, they wanted to communicate with the husband's mom had died. So it was the husband's mom and the mother-in-law, the wife, and she had passed away and they wanted to talk to her. And so she came through and I kept seeing this bread machine. And I remember thinking, like, this is really weird. Like, I really don't want to talk about a bread machine. Like, that makes no sense. That's very bizarre. So I'm telling him other things and, like, tiptoeing all around this bread machine. And finally, I was like, all right, like, I've got to talk about this bread machine. And so I said to them, I said, so there's this bread machine. And they just started crying and laughing because his mom had bought them this bread machine and they never used it. So when she passed away, they got it out and they started making bread. So it had this huge message. It was probably one of the weirder messages I'd ever gotten, but it's my favorite story because it's such a reminder, like, you just trust what you get. That was the moment where I was like, I will never, ever not say what I'm seeing, no matter how weird it is. Because mm-hmm. it ended up being so important to them. And really that thing that, like, confirmed that they were speaking with her. And so, but it was so funny. So I always think of that bread machine because I'm like, man, that bread machine taught me a huge lesson.
I know. It's just amazing. But this is what I'm saying, you know, when it comes to doing that work, it's really about connecting with source and listening to that. And then really acting and trusting on that, trusting that, and then speaking from that place as well. Because the thing is that it carries the energy of source, and then source does its work. And source itself is the awakening power. Yes. And, you know, there's nothing, when you're allowing it to come through, there's nothing blocking that, that receiving and then that giving. So there's that sort of complete flow. That is just incredible. And it does its work.
It does. And there's this trust of it. Like that for me, like I just, if I trust anything, it is that. Mm-hmm. Since I was a little kid. I mean, I remember being a little kid and when ideas or things came through, like I just did it. And I was always the weird kid because I was always doing weird stuff.
Yes,
it's just who I am, and it's worth it because here we are after 100 episodes.
Yes. Well, we're all in the weird club together. Isn't that awesome?
It really is. And I mean, Julie, when you think about this year, and I know we're going to wrap up because it's already been more than an hour, always goes fast in here. But when you think back to this year, I mean, you wrote a book. You're mm-hmm. writing the second one, I bet, that's finished yes. here.
Yes, it's. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, who would have guessed?
It's just incredible, and I'm so happy to support you, and really, like, that it just makes it all worthwhile to see. It's like, I've seen guests on the show create their own shows. I've seen clients come in and become their own practitioners. I've seen so much growth, and you talk about building bridges. And I remember, Julie, my very first alignment with you in 2005. And this is how I met Julie. Somebody told me about her, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go do something with this person. And my very first alignment, and you're the message from the Siddhas in that was that part of my soul purpose was to be a bridge to the unseen realms.
Yes.
And this is like this so, is it. Yes, it's so living that. It's so living that. And I still have that alignment that I printed out from that computer that God knows where that's at now.
Wonderful.
And I have it memorized, like burned into my brain, that soul purpose. And it was really all about healing myself so that I could be this bridge. And here it is.
Here it is. And who knew, you know?
Who knew? And all of the work and all of the things that led to this time, I think I just, man, you guys, like I have so many things to write about my life, but the last 15 years, like it'll be 4 or 5 books probably. It's just been worth it, really. And there were times where I didn't think I was going to be here anymore. And I'm like, wow, I'm here and I'm doing this work and life is amazing.
Indeed. Indeed.
Aww. So any parting words? Julie, I love you. I know you know that. I know I don't need to say it, but I'm so happy to have you be a partner in all of this. And to be a part of this and to believe in me means so much. After all the work that's been done and all that stuff, like, it feels like that first summit was like 5 years ago to me. I feel like everything is so different in this really great way. And so I just am so grateful to have you in my life and so grateful to be able to share you with this community. I think the community loves you and you're helping so many people work through things. And so it's just such an honor to have you here. And any parting words today?
Yeah, well, as I said many times, I absolutely love being on this platform. And I do have to say that when you first connected with me in 2005 or whenever it was, I saw you. I saw who you were. It was just so clear and so obvious. And I mean, of course, back then I could never have said where it would all lead. But, you know, the divine purpose behind our meeting and coming together is for you to be able to sort of heal and grow and, you know, be where you are now. And for me, in some small way, to join you and support this so that then, you know, it supports everybody who is joining and facilitating and a part of this community. So it feels like tremendously an uplifting, transformational, energizing work. And I'm just very grateful for the opportunity. And also for the opportunity to connect with the community and to have this platform, to be able to share and to reach people who are looking, who may be thinking they're weird, or who've had a kind of awakening, but, you know, don't know where to get information about what that means or what it looks like, you know. So it's just, it's a gift. So thank you for everything that you have done to create this. It's just really a very heartfelt thank you. It's incredible.
Thank you, Julie. And we just go onward. We just go onward. And my parting words for everybody watching is, we're all about action on Buddhist Biohacker. So my new focus is that at the end of every show, I want action steps. Throw them in the comments, put them in the YouTube channel, put them on the MeWe forum, put them on Twitter. I don't care where you put it. Send us an email. I don't care. But I want to hear action steps. How do you put 100 hours of content into action? How do you do that? And what's your action step? Because we can all watch all the presentations, but what are we really doing with those presentations? And I can tell you guys some of my action steps, which are, we're launching an education and research institute. Stay tuned. So we can continue to support all of this. I am transforming Buddhist Biohacker. This will all continue in 2021. The but is it will be more focused on education through the show versus interviewing. So it's going to look a little bit different, even though it's the same. It will continue to be live. Awaken Grace is released. So I have plans for another film once this one is 100% complete and out and released to the public. And we will be releasing the Awaken Grace series as part of Buddhist Biohacker in January. And we're going to start by releasing the full interviews with all 14 of the awakeners that were in the documentary. And then we'll go from there. So if you have stories of your own awakening, please email. I want to hear that. And then I also will be teaching about universal law. You know, there's so many universal laws, and it's been directed to me to really help us understand those in a new way. So those are some of my action steps. And some of my other action steps are, I've really engaged with a lot of these facilitators. Julie has an incredible support to live in alignment, and I've signed up for that. And I've also signed up for Barry's yoga classes because I'm really connected with the way that she teaches. And so those are a couple of things I'm doing to integrate what I'm learning, because I sit here with all these incredible people all week long, and it's time for me to do something about that too and listen to those promptings. So those are my steps. So I want to hear what yours are, because I think the more that we put this into action, we are the warriors of light. And I think warriors go to the front of the battle line and are the first ones to raise their sword. And so that's what we have to do, is take action on what we're learning and do the work on ourselves and work with our community, whatever that is. So that's my two cents for the 100th episode today.
Yeah, in other words, stop hiding.
Yes, stop denying yourself. Oh my gosh, stop denying. That's my new, by the way, Julie, that is like, I read your book, obviously, as soon as it came out, and I read through it, and then I've been going back and doing the activities. Mm-hmm. But that is my new question every day, is what am I denying? And it's really obvious. Like, you guys, we deny our children. We deny our relationships. We deny the fact that we're pulling something out of the fridge we shouldn't be pulling. I mean, we deny a lot that we just sort of ignore. We get up and we do our day and we kind of just forget. And whoa, so asking that question is huge. What are you denying? That is the biggest takeaway from your book, I think, for me.
Yeah. And the other one, which is, you know, what are you searching for? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. What are you chasing after? Mm-hmm. That could be a whole other discussion.
Oh gosh, that triggered me so hard. I mean, for all of you guys, Julie has her YouTube channel. Please go follow Julie Hoyle True Alignment on YouTube. And your videos are so powerful, even though they're not very long. So you guys have
minutes.
Yeah, go check in with it. It's so good. But your most recent video triggered me so hard, because something about that question of what are you searching for, in relation to Buddhist Biohacker and in relation to this platform, I really started thinking about, well, what is this all about, you know? And so it was really, really good. I got a lot out of that question, but man, it really brought up some stuff for me. So it's totally, get over to Julie's channel if you haven't done it already. So.
Oh.
As always, I just love you so much. And to everybody who's writing and commenting, like, thank you so much for being a part of our 100th episode. We are slowing down a little bit, but believe it or not, I think I still have about 100 episodes for the rest of the year. But we'll back tomorrow with Jeff Strong, which is really awesome. He has a brand new brain entrainment drumming course. For those who are sensitive and empathic, which is really cool. And so he's going to be talking about that. And Krista is going to be on for those women entrepreneurs. She's really excellent. So I think you guys will really appreciate her communication and speaking. She's really inspiring. So she'll be back. And then we have Tim that I talked about. He'll be back. He's from the UK. He'll be on Friday for Ley Lines. And so I think that might be it this week. But go on the channel and look at the list, and it'll tell you when we're back live. But thank you, Julie, so much. And thank you to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yes. Have an amazing, amazing day, you guys.
You too. Bye. Bye. Bye.